Welcome to the Danny Palmer Show. Does it sound cool if I say it like that? Canada has five time zones. What's up, ladies and gents? Welcome to the vainly titled Danny Palmer Show. I thought I'd just be insane if I said a maybe mildly amusing fact just immediately when you turn on the pod. Like, if you've never heard this pod before, you're like, why would anybody share that information into a microphone, dude? What the fuck is this? Yeah, I mean, point taken, you fucking dick. Yeah, dude, isn't it weird that Denver has a pro basketball team, the Nuggets? Like, who was sitting around thinking of that, Jim? Were people painting for gold here back in the day? You want to call it the Nuggets? That's fucking whack, bro. The Heat is a way better name. Like, dude, this is fucking hot as fuck down here. It's also just like a thing, Nuggets, like McNuggets, plural. Like, Heat is just like Heat. I like that better. So, but it doesn't matter because they lost. Although, I've only been to Denver once. It's a pretty great time. And I'm watching the end of the game five here in Denver. And there's a pretty cute girl in the audience wearing some like pretty short white shorts. So I take it back. Denver Nuggets, you have my support. Yeah, man. I know this is coming out on Wednesday. And if you're listening to this on Wednesday, I'll be in Nashville that night at Zany's opening for Giulio Gallerati. I know I talk about this a lot. The night before this comes out, I'll be in Raleigh. I'm actually recording this on Monday night in New York City. It's where I live. So it's a very dirty city, but I've chosen to elect to remain here for 15 years. And I have no intention of leaving at any point in the near future for some unexplained reason. And then Thursday, the Punchline in Atlanta. Dude, it's going to be sick, man. And then my brother Ben has a show Friday night at a brewery near downtown. It's all like sick things. And then Father's Day is on Sunday. That's cool, And then my brother Ben Palmer is a really funny comic. He's got the Hope That Helps, like satirical. I don't even know how you describe it. He basically just like troll. He's a troll. He's an online troll, but he has like a sense of social purpose and justice to it when he like defends like unions organizing against big labor or like scam companies, like pyramid schemes. He'll like join an actual Zoom job interview at a pyramid scheme company and just disrupt everything. It's great. And then it's his birthday on Sunday, so that's nice. I don't know why I'm sharing all this information. Well, that's what you're supposed to do in a podcast. Aren't you supposed to be like, oh, this is the cool shit that's going on? Does anybody care? Should I just stop recording this forever? You got it. You fucking got it, dude. I saw on Jeopardy, there was a quote from Annie Hall. This is pretty funny. I know Woody Allen's like a scumbag, but some of the writing is good. What are you gonna do? I mean, it's unfortunate. He said the right turn on red is LA's only cultural advantage over New York. It's pretty damning praise, dude. Faint praise, damning with faint praise, something like that. Yeah, something. Have you guys heard about this concept called frogging? It's P-H-R-O-G-G-I-N-G. It's where people try to live in your house for an extended period of time without you knowing about it. Like, what the fuck, dude? You must have a pretty big fucking house if you're getting frogged, bro. Not only anybody's hiding out in my studio apartment, that's for damn sure. I mean, if they're under the bed, they're not going to be able to stay down there that long. When I was in college, my roommate had a girlfriend, and she would come and, like, stay in our room. And there weren't supposed to be girls on the floor at night. And she would, be under the bed. And I would just come home sometimes and be in the dorm room and be like, oh, my God, there's a girl here? Why are you under the bed? I'm scared. Dude, sometimes I write down stuff for this pod, and I'm like, oh, this will be great to talk to, dude. And then I'm like, is it actually great, Danny? It's stupid, Or sometimes you ever have like a mini, you're like, oh my God, I just had a mini epiphany. And then you tell a couple of people excitedly about it. And then it's like, they're like, oh, that's really great. And then like the next day you like read your mini epiphany and you're like, was that an epiphany or am I just an idiot? Like, you want to hear my mini epiphany? We did this like life coach session at my work. And the lady that led the session told us to close our eyes, kind of went into this kind of relaxed meditative state. And then she said, envision that you have built your like dream house and then go in the house and look around at the rooms. And I've always wanted to have like a sick like beach house in Miami. And I want to have like a wing where my friends stay. Like, friends and family can just sign this book and just stay anytime they want all year long. And then I'll just be in like the master wing part. Or you know what? I'll make the wings equal so no one feels like they're less than. But there's no charge to stay there. It's just going to be like fun to be there and just like party and stuff. And there's like a boat and a dock. It looks sick. So I'm walking around my dream house in my head. And then I'm like, well, you know what, Danny? You obviously can't afford this dream house now and maybe ever. But who is the person that you want to be when you're in the dream house? Like, if you have a sick house and you're a fucking asshole, dude, No one wants to be around you. No one wants to be around an asshole in their dream house. I mean, maybe they would, just to like, you could just like kind of hide out on a different wing. Like, and whenever the asshole comes through, just pretend you're sleeping just because you're staying in this sick house. But, you know, generally speaking, but I'm like, so even if things go great, or even if things don't go great, sorry, even if I don't get a dream house one day, I can still become, strive to become the best person I can be with or without the house. And I'm like, is that a mini epiphany? I mean, I guess it is kind of some good thought, but also like, it's not that fucking big of a deal, Danny. Just fucking relax, bro. So my friend Ricky and my other friend Zach Mitchell have been listening to Space What the Fuck Dude, which is what this podcast started out as, until Zach and I reached some irreconcilable differences, namely that we really hated each other. So yeah, they've been listening to old episodes and telling me some of the things that they said, that we said on the app. And so that got me thinking about some of the space content that we used to talk about. And then I randomly came across this fact. This fact is completely insane, dude. Okay, two neutron stars collided, like, I don't know, a few years ago. Who cares? They just collided, dude. This Dr. Metzger, it doesn't matter what his first name is. It's Dr. Kurt Metzger, the comedian. Dr. Metzger estimated that an amount of gold equal to 40 to 100 times the mass of the Earth could have been produced over a few days and blown into space. Dude, can you imagine? That's wild. 100 times the mass of the Earth. I mean, those pictures from space when they're like on the moon and looking back at Earth. I mean, it's an enormous, I don't have to tell you. You're on the fucking thing. It's pretty goddamn big, dude. 100 times the mass of the Earth in gold? That is some fucking baller shit, dude. It's crazy. And then apparently, like, sometimes when the two neutron stars collide, they produce uranium. For uranium, the number is 10 to 30 times the mass of the Earth. So that's kind of whack, you know? I like it better when it's gold. I'm like, oh, wow, look at your uranium mass, only 30 times the size of the Earth. My gold ball is 100 times the size of the Earth, you fucking loser. Okay? In the coming era, eons, these metals could be incorporated into new stars and planets, and in some far, far day, become the material for an alien generation's jewels or weapons. I mean, what the fuck? Can you imagine aliens using a mass 100 times the size of the Earth, a gold ball, and just chipping it off? Can you chip gold balls, dude? Chipping it off for like sick ass jewelry, and then also for weapons. Can you make weapons out of gold, dude? I imagine you can. Can you just beat somebody to death with a block of gold? Yeah, I'm sure you can. Anyways, I thought that was pretty fucking wild. Okay, this is something that bothers me. I hate people. I'm like, and maybe it's just me being like a bitter single loser who's envious of people's happy relationships. But I can't rule it out entirely. But I do think I have somewhat of a valid point here. It's like, I really don't like when guys will put, they'll post on Instagram and they'll be like, can't believe that, you know, my girlfriend or wife would stoop to be with me. Oh, like, oh, I'm sure you have no ego, dude. I'm sure you have no ego. The guy who, like, you know, put his whole heart and soul into getting a beautiful woman to spend his life with him and then posted about it on Instagram. I'm sure you're just like, oh, I'm such a dirtbag, scumbag, dork, loser. I don't deserve anything good. I can't believe you would stoop to be with me. Also, if that was really how you felt about the relationship, I think the woman would be like, dude, what this fucking cuck little bitch? Like, have some self-confidence, bro. Oh, you stoop to be with me? Yeah, something tells me that when they get in a fight and he's really pissed off at her, I bet he's not thinking about her stooping. You know what I mean? It's just like, I know that maybe some people actually think that way, but I just feel like it's this common thread. It's like this trope cliche.
I can't believe. Oh, you've lowered yourself.
Also, it's a little bit insulting to the woman, right? So you want the woman, you want your girlfriend or wife to stoop? Don't you want them to go find somebody that's worth their time and attention and love? You fucking false humility little cuck. Somebody's going to beat my ass at some point. But hey, look, you know, these are just my opinions. That's all I have to say. Also, one more space fact. Did you know that 2-5% of UAPs, which is unexplained aerial phenomena, the like newfangled term for UFOs, cannot be explained? 2-5%. Now, apparently there's like hundreds of thousands of these things like all the time every year. 2-5% is an enormous number of crafts. And then that article came out recently that they have a spacecraft. Some guy, some whistleblower in the government is like, yeah, we have multiple intact crafts. And he goes, I know it sounds crazy, but there are dead pilots in the craft because the craft fucking crashed. And I mean, you know, sure, there's a chance he's completely making that up and he's an egomaniac who wouldn't stoop to be, who would think that, I can't, I'm not smart enough to take the metaphor of the stooping and implying it to this scientist whistleblower. Let's just abort that. Will I rewind and delete what I just said? I will not. That seems like a lot of effort, dude. All right, that one's done. And then, when I used to live in Atlanta, going back on Thursday, it's gonna be fun. I lived in Atlanta when Borat, the movie, premiered. And we went to this movie theater in Atlantic Station down near Midtown, and it was completely sold out. And me and my friends were seated, and there was this usher girl. She's probably like 16, I don't know, 17 or 18 maybe. She was trying to like guide the traffic as they were coming into the theater and guide them to their seats. And she was like trying to be like forceful, but she was kind of like young and cute, you know? So I just thought it'd be kind of fun to fuck with her as she was overwhelmed with people. And I just go like loudly to the whole theater. There were probably like 300 to 400 people. I was like, you are very pretty. And then everybody laughed. And then she laughed too, which made me feel good, you know, because she was trying to act in her official movie theater usher capacity. But I feel good about that moment. So that's why I shared it. So some people think I'm a narcissist and they can fuck off. Okay, let's continue on, Danny. Let's just fucking relax, pal. Oh, also during the space what the fuck dude days, Zach told me that for me, a relationship is talking to a girl for 3 hours in a bar. That is really disrespectful and rude and possibly true. I was reading a column from, I believe it was my favorite columnist, David Brooks, but I didn't write it down. So listen, this is not the world's most professional podcast, okay? This isn't like the Cleveland Clinic's podcast. It's just Danny in an apartment. You know what I mean? But they were talking about educational systems in the United States or system. Worse, this system is built on a definition of merit, quote unquote, that is utterly bonkers. In what sane world do we sort people, often for life, based on their ability to be teacher pleasers from age 15 to 18? That's a good fucking point, dude. Teacher pleasers 15 to 18. And I love when people deconstruct things like that. In 2008, the organizational psychologist Adam Grant, love him, his Instagram is great too if you want to follow it, wrote a powerful essay for the Times making the point that, quote, academic excellence is not a strong predictor of career excellence. Across industries, research shows that the correlation between grades and job performance is modest in the first year after college and trivial within a handful of years. Dude, that's insane. Trivial within a handful of years? And it's all, well, I have a 3.8. I went to fucking Princeton. Oh, yeah. That just goes away. I mean, not to say that education isn't to be valued, but it's just, that's way too much of an emphasis on this thing. I buckled down and studied and pleased people for 4 to 8 years, like high school and college or whatever. And now that determines my destiny for the rest of my life. Well, it really shouldn't, you know? I agree with that. So, oh, dude, I saw this thing in the news. It was crazy. I watched NBC Nightly News. I know I'm a dork loser, boomer for watching the Nightly News, but I like it. You know, I like to see what's going on in a concise manner for like 20 minutes when I'm eating my dinner. So, but there was this really sweet story. Apparently there was some British airline that Spirit Airline acquired. And after Spirit acquired the airline, they changed the, you know, paint, the logo on the plane over. And like 4 years after Spirit acquired this airline, somebody, like an attendant or a mechanic on the plane, was changing the bathroom mirror. And he lifted up the mirror, and behind the mirror was a postcard. And it was written by these grandparents. Okay, so these grandparents have this picture, and it's of a 4-year-old girl on this roller coaster, like a little kid's ride where you sit in a plane. I guess she loved to fly. And it says, our dear grandchild Grace, 4.5 years old, taken from us in 3 weeks with a very rare liver cancer in November 2014. Our little angel had always wanted to fly, so she flies onto Monarch. That's the airline that Spirit acquired the airline from. Hidden away for as long as possible. Happy travels, darling Grace. You made our lives just perfect for all too short a time. Love, your grandma and grandpa. I mean, dear God, dude. If you don't cry at that, you're a fucking scumbag, dip bro. That's fucking so touching. See? I'm like, I don't watch the Nightly News. It's I'm like, they're so like dramatic and stuff. But then a story like that comes on, you're like, oh, I'm crying. I'm crying from the nightly news. Fuck. Oh, dude. Also, Boardwalk Empire. That's a good show, too. I just finished watching Chimp Empire on Netflix. Holy shit, dude. That is an insane nature documentary. I had no idea that chimps were highly political creatures. And they all have these, like, stories and, like, they're scheming on each other. And, dude, when Pork Pie dies, goddamn, bro. That was not fun, you know? And it's like they have no choice but to be territorial. It's really cool. It's a really cool thing to watch. And one of my favorite quotes from it, the narrator, Marshanan Ali, I know I'm saying his first name wrong, but he was in the Green Book. He said, chimps change as they get older, but they never lose their love of playing and for each other. I kind of love that. That's how we humans should be too. Always love to play. Always love to be around each other. Oh, that's cute. Okay, here's a couple of things. There's an AI quote that I thought was pretty great. This is from Maureen Dowd, my favorite columnist. She said, we are at the mercy of lords of the cloud, high in their own supply, who fancy themselves as gods creating life. Despite some earnest talk of regulation, they have no interest in installing a kill switch. AI is their baby, hurtling towards the rebellious teenage years. Jesus, dude. I never thought about AI being like a petulant teen causing havoc upon the earth. She continues on, there is no time in our history in which the humanities, philosophy, ethics, and art are more urgently necessary than in this time of technology's triumph, said Leon Weisseltzer, the editor of Liberties, a humanistic journal. Because we need to be able to think in non-technological terms if we're going to figure out the good and the evil in all the technological innovations. Given society's craven worship of technology, are we going to trust the engineers and the capitalists to tell us what is right and wrong? No, we are certainly not going to trust them. They don't give a fuck. They just want to make cool things and feel cool about themselves, dude. There's no kill switch. The AI will determine when we are killed. Okay, I just have a couple nice inspirational things, and then we'll call it a fucking John. John is a word you can use in place of words like day or in words like anything. If you want to use John to John, then just fucking John it, dude. Like, it goes fuck. You know what I mean, John? John. Okay, here's a reminder from your future self from Mickey Mantle. If I knew I was going to live this long, I'd have taken better care of myself. Yeah, that's always probably a good idea. And then I was listening to this podcast with Chad Stahelski. He's the guy that directed John Wick and came up with the John Wick idea. He said Halle Berry went into his like trailer on the set of something else, walked in. She goes, hey, I'm Halle. He's like, hey, Halle Berry, I know who you are. And she goes, I want to be in the next John Wick. And he goes, well, I haven't written it yet. And she goes, that's why I'm here. Write me into it. Dude, that's baller. I kind of love that. Halle Berry's a badass, dude. Don't fuck with her, dude. I swear to God, don't fuck with her. Okay, I talked about my mini epiphany. That's the John. We've reached the John, dude. I'll be in Atlanta this upcoming weekend. I don't know, you know. If we're friends or something, there's no need to like tell people that, Danny. Do you guys want my address? Do you want my social security number? It's 604. What? That's not it. All right. No one cares. Thank you for listening to the Danny Palmer Show. You guys are fucking sick, Johns. Go watch Giulio Gallerati on tour all across the country all year long. He's a badass. Congrats, Denver Nuggets. They won the championship. First time ever. Who cares? Go Cavs. Go whatever team you're from. Whatever city you're from, I want their team to do well. Okay? No, we're all going to be dead for eternity. Like, can you identify who won the NBA championship in 2003? I can't. Should I look it up? I'm not going to look it up. No one gives a fuck. All right. Thanks for listening, you Jones. Come.